Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world what it used to be.
Can't do it alone.
Do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now.
Won't you tell me now?
Fire!
Amen, 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 amen. To God be the glory. This awesome and wonderful evening. We're always grateful and thankful to be able to welcome you in on the Blog Talk Radio show as we speak about oneness. And tonight, as we speak about the power of love, just grateful that you made your way here. My name is Tammy Storr. We'll be joined by Minister Jesse Storr shortly. Grateful and thankful for this 13th day of December, last month of the year of 2021. Just pray that God continue to bless us and keep us in good health and allow us all an opportunity to continue to go forward and do the things that he has called us to do for such a time as this. Just thankful that tonight will be a night that hopefully you'll be able to open up your mics and be able to speak and share through transparency on how you also view oneness as the power of love. And I pray that as you speak to us, that you will utilize transparency and be able to assist and help the next listening audience, all of those that are under the sound of your voice, to be able to be a blessing to. And if you ask a question, make a comment, and you want to come back later and make another comment or ask another question, as soon as you ask that first question, all you have to do is press one again. It will take you totally off the host queue after you speak, and then press one again later on, and you can come back and ask another question or be able to provide some additional information to assist our listening audience on the oneness that you've been experiencing as it truly relates to the power of love. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, we want to first of all say thank you for yet another day, another opportunity to glorify your holy name. I say thank you on tonight, Lord God, for allowing each and every one of us to gather here tonight, to be in your presence, to be in your midst, to be able to declare and decree your word over our lives and over those that are under the sound of our voice. We thank you for every individual that's a part of that number where two or more gather together. We call upon your mighty name. We know you're here, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We thank you. We appreciate your presence here tonight. As always, I pray for the man of the hour. I pray for Minister Jesse. I pray, Lord God, that you lead, guide, and direct everything that he puts his hands to. You know all of the things that he's working on, Lord God, in a form of a business deal. And I pray that everything he says, does, and touches, that you would bless. I also pray, Lord God, as we know that you've allowed him an opportunity to go through total knee replacement on this past Friday, And I know, Lord God, that he is still yet in a little bit of pain. I pray that you touch his body, you heal him, allow him to get through his rehab and be able to fully recover and be able to accept this new knee that has been placed in his body and will release the pain that he was in and bring him comfort, Lord God, in the activities that he will do in the coming months and years. I pray today, Lord God, that you will be with all of those that are not 100% in their body. I pray for each and every one of them tonight. I pray, Lord God, for any challenges that we know are going on in marriages where they're not seeing eye to eye, lack of communication, and where there are some issues and challenges. I pray that you mend the relationships back together that need to be mended. I pray that you allow us to utilize that word called forgiveness and ask to be forgiven and accept forgiveness when being asked of us. I pray tonight, Lord God, for all of those that we know that were in the harm's way of the tornado over the weekend. I pray that you touch each and every family member that was directly impacted. I pray for them all today, Lord God, that you comfort them, all of the various cities that were directly hit, that you would be in the midst, Lord God, of allowing them, Father God, to be able to rebuild and get their lives back together. I just want to say thank you, Father God, for all of those that will be willing to contribute and do what they need to do to assist and help this family. As always, Father God, I want to just ask that you continue to be with all of us and let us all extend, Father God, a courtesy to be able to show love to another community, another family, another city, another state. I pray tonight, Lord God, that whatever it is that you would have each and every one of us to do, that we will be obedient and we will do it. And we want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering to us and through the sermon, allow us to do what you ask us to do. I thank you on tonight, Lord God, that you will be with all of our family members, immediate and extended. Whatever they stand in need of, meet them at their need. Protect them, watch over, and keep them, not only from the coronavirus, but from all evil that's lurking out there in this world. I pray for our children, Father, that we know, Father God, our school-age kids, that from all the way from pre-K all the way up until postgraduate, that as they go into the schoolhouses each and every day, that a covering will be upon them. They will be blessed by you. I thank you on today, Lord God, that you will continue to go and be in the midst of and allowing, Lord God, each and every one of us to understand and know and recognize the things that we must do. You're an awesome God and a great God and a God of all knowing. And I just want to say tonight, Lord God, thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon each and every one of us. Continue to allow us to be encouraged by you and allow us, Lord God, to go and encourage someone else. I thank you for those that are married, those that are looking to be married, that you would bless them, watch over them, and give them the ability to know what to do, when to do, how to do it, so that, Lord God, they have the ability to be able, Father, to be led by you in their relationships. As always, thank you tonight, Lord God, for this awesome topic. As we speak about oneness, Lord God, we understand the power of love. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen. Let everybody say amen. We praise God and we thank God. We give him our glory, honor, and praise. For he truly is worthy to be praised. Ironically, we live in a world today where so many speak about love from so many different perspectives. Love has almost become synonymous with lust. Love has almost become synonymous with do your own thing and anything that feels good to you while you do it, that must be a definition of love. But truly, love is far deeper and has a far deeper meaning. We read in the scriptures that God is love. Now think about that for a moment. God is love. And sometimes when we play with words, we can begin to see the evolution that takes place in any particular relationship. When we think about the relationships that we hold near to our hearts, those where we have become spouses or spouses to be, and also other relationships, platonic relationships, relationships where people are simply just friends. And as a matter of fact, in the concept of oneness, it is a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. If you are able to to come to that kind of initial understanding where you become friends with that person who will become or who has become your spouse. Because you need, all of us need in this world, somebody that we can just be bodaciously honest, you know, unadulterated, that where there is no reason to hide or to sugarcoat, where you feel 100% free to share and express yourself. Now, we know there's a danger there sometimes because we sometimes are not mature enough to hear and expect and believe in the truth that one spouse might share with another or one spouse-to-be may share with another. Sometimes we may share something with each other where the other person becomes, for lack of a better term, perhaps even disappointed that you have that reality in your life. What is it, or what would it be like if you were out with someone and you thought someone was the one that God had sent you away, and you had this idea that they had to be perfect in all ways. They could have no issues. But as you get to know them, you find out they have some issues. What might some issues be? Oh, perhaps they have a family situation to where they came from a divorced family. Or maybe they have a situation where a brother or a sister has been incarcerated or was incarcerated. Or perhaps they have a situation in their life where someone may have been murdered. Or maybe one of the two of them have been married before, where something that would now take away from their theoretical perfection, because sometimes we erroneously look for something that we determine or deem to be perfect, only to be found out that's not the way God wants us to be thinking. Why is it that we sometimes want to portray or want to build up in our own mind this level of expectation that sometimes will be very difficult to achieve instead of praying and asking God that he would send to us the person that would be used by God to perfect us? Because truly, when we become the perfect will of God, you know, Tammy, there's something that changes. There's something that takes place when we're really willing to humble ourselves and ask God, God, I need to be perfected. I want to be perfected. So when we think about this concept of the power of love, what is it that in your own mind, when you think back about even in our relationship, you had a concept, you had an idea, you had a criteria, like most people, when they say, well, I want to marry somebody that's this, that, or whatever. Ultimately, what I've discovered, Tammy, in my chatting with people, that sometimes when they have this criteria that's not necessarily aligned with what God has said or proposed, it sometimes discombobulates. It comes apart, doesn't hold together. But what do you think? Why is it that sometimes when, you know, we have this ideal of what we think love is or what love looks like or how love is going to come, that we let me ask you this way. Do you think when you look back, is it possible even people you may know, I know in my case it's true, but I'm going to ask you the question, that perhaps what we look for or think about in terms of oneness or in terms of a spouse, is it realistic? Do you have examples or situations, even in your discussion with friends, to where when we're trying to wrap our arms around oneness and the power of love, what have you learned in conversation with women? I like to hear it from a lady's point of view that makes it difficult for us to really strive and ride on the power of love. What is it that causes this distinction, this difficulty in relationships, in just the initial part? And sometimes when you just meet somebody, you've had all of these ideas, and now you meet them, and they may share something that wasn't on your list, or maybe you may view as negative, not you as a person, but in general, in your conversation with people. Why do we do that? We find out something about somebody, and all of a sudden, all of the great attributes that we feel they have, we seem to now to want to throw them out the window. What is it that would cause such a response from people? I know some of it is because they've been hurt, but I'd like to just hear what you would have to say, because I know you've got some friends and I've got some friends, but what would be your perspective on that?
Well, Jesse, you know, love is a very powerful word, as you indicated. God is love. And, you know, and the scripture talks about being unequally yoked. And that's one of the things, Jesse, first of all, that we have to work with. I mean, we got to understand and know that, you know, that's one of the things that God spoke about us being, you know, equally yoked with whomever it is that we choose to spend of our lives with. And it's so important that we make sure, 2 Corinthians 6:14 tells us, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? And so I think, Jesse, it really starts with that. There's lust that comes into play when you first meet someone, you know, men especially. And now let's not get it twisted. We know women have a tendency to do it as well. I mean, when there's someone that's good on the eye, no matter if you're male or female, let's face it, it's hard to turn away, especially when you're relatively young, maybe in your mid-20s, and you're somewhat ready to settle down. And so for someone that's not looking up and not really ready to meet someone, you probably won't, but for someone that's kind of ready to settle down and looking to see where God's going to send their perfect soulmate, because we know when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And so when you have your head up and you're looking, you're somewhat knowing that God may, through discernment, tell you to look to the right or to look to the left to see that perfect soulmate that he has for you, I believe that it is a very fond thing. I think when we think about love, Jesse, it's all about, are we getting to know someone for who they are? Are we allowing ourselves an opportunity to have that wonderful communication going as it relates to getting to know the individual, whether it be a husband or be a boy or a male or a man or a woman? You have to get to know the person that you think has the potential to be your perfect soulmate. Because I understand and know that the word tells us that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I know we all know that out of Proverbs 18. And so when you find a good thing as a man finds a wife, we know that eventually there's going to be so much love, it's going to be overflowing. But how many of us know that sometimes when you really get to know someone and you're starting to know them, and you may really feel, think, and believe that you're really in love, until you really, truly, Jesse, experience what we call oneness, it's really, you probably haven't experienced the kind of love that God truly wants you to experience. One of the things that we understand and know that once you get to know each other through the dating and the courting and the engagement and then finally married, and we know that God said that the bedroom is undefiled. We know that that bedroom is a sacred place. It's a place where you get to know one another as husband and wife better than you ever known each other before. And so when you first get together that very first time that you have sexual relations, because it just does something when the man goes inside the woman and you become one, that it allows you to just release and let go and allow God to use and move in you and your spouse in such a mighty way that love really starts flowing in the air. And I believe, Jesse, that love will continue to flow if only both parties, the husband and the wife, are willing to continue with that wonderful engagement, that wonderful activity that God said he made a good thing. If we're willing to continue down that same road for years to come, because there's so many ways about being intimate. It's not always about being inside one another physically. It could be that you're showing intimacy in other areas that just almost makes your spouse melt. in their shoes. I hope and pray that you will allow that part of your life to grow and to continue to be encouraged by each other so that you have the ability to allow love to flow like never before. Now, the problem comes in, Jesse, when the love is not there, is when, number one or the other tries to hold sexual relations against each other because you're upset with one another, you're mad at each other. You're going to have disagreements. You have to figure out to work out any conflicts that you have. There's always a resolution. And the best way to do it is through the Word of God, studying it. As a matter of fact, study it together, so that you can increase that love, so that you can speak life and not death, so that you can encourage and not discourage, so that you can speak about your spouse in front of your friends, your family, or whoever you come in contact with a loving heart, with loving words versus words that will tear down, that will destroy. And once we know words flow from our mouth, you can't put them back in that genie bottle. It's not going to work. They're gone. They've already damaged what they were. Now what you have to do is your part to figure out how to get back on track. And one of the ways you do that, Jesse, is forgiveness, to communicate, to love on each other, respect each other, edify each other, and make sure that every day showing some form of love, of intimacy with your spouse, whether it be a kiss, whether it be a hug, whether it be I love you, whether it be send a text, whether it be send an email, whether it be a call just to say, baby, I know you're busy. I know you're at work. I can't do it. I can't talk long because I'm at work as well. But I just wanted you to know one thing. I love you more today than ever before. So I just pray that we stay on track with what to do when we get there with this thing called love, Jesse.
We'll be right back.
If this world were mine, I would place at your feet all that I own. You've been so good to me. If this world were mine, I'd give you the flowers, the birds and the bees. For with your love inside me, that would
you could have anything. If this world were mine, I'd give you each day so sunny and blue. If you wanted the moonlight, I'd give you that too. If this world were mine, I'd give you anything.
To say that I need my wife, my queen. I'm happy to say it because Tammy, I've learned not to be ashamed and not to feel anything other than honored. Because, see, the world has done everything it could, and especially sometimes to how the Europeans were used to undermine the love for black folks. Now, I know God is looking at his creation, and I'm sure oftentimes is disappointed. But at the end of the day, I believe sincerely, without doubt, that marriage and oneness is the best thing that could ever happen. And it gives us the power of love. What is love but walking in the fruit of the Spirit? You know, the first one, the first dimension starts with love, but it goes on about the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the goodness, the kindness, the faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you look at all of those dimensions, if we were able to apply those in marriage and then have children, and children were able to always witness the fruit of the Spirit, always understanding that you're edifying each other. You're speaking as Ephesians 4:29 tells us, as Philippians 4:8, always thinking on the good things, always edifying. See, the problem is we live in a world, Tammy, I believe today, that makes it difficult sometimes, is that we are bombarded with all kinds of anti-love, with all kinds of examples and situations that are surrogate, that are under their defaults of what God wanted us to accomplish in relationships with each other. We live in a world today that is so intent on redefining and reestablishing what marriage is supposed to be. See, now, if we apply what Jesus said in his ministry, he gave a fivefold ministry himself that is similar to the fivefold ministry that has been given to the church. But Jesus said he came in so many words, when you cut it all and you disciple all of it, is one word, deliverance. He came to set us free. And so just like, you know, I may laugh and we may talk about it sometime, but he set you free from a standpoint of thinking, feeling, and believing no way God could put you and me together. That when I was sharing, I believe, with Jessica, I can't remember when, that when you looked at your script and your criteria and what you were looking for, it didn't fit the script. And you and I were chatting when we were having our 25th anniversary, how only God could have put it together. How else can you explain it? Based on what you wanted, based on your script, your criteria, you know, something happened that caused you to reexamine that script. And I think what happened was God moved on your spirit, moved on your heart, and you were willing to say, okay, I see. Because you then could compare me, I believe, to some of our most favorite people in the Bible. And when you looked at that analysis, you know, you could easily conclude that, well, my goodness, sometimes I believe this is what happens. Each one of us, we have an expectation of someone sometime that's beyond what we should perhaps be thinking, that we sometimes miss it. Because we have these imaginary situations in our minds, and every time we meet someone, perhaps we're not really thinking about love. We're not asking God. We're thinking about how well do they meet the criteria and the script that I have written down. What do you think about that? Do we sometimes miss God and what God wants us to do? Because, you know, we may have a script, which we should have. We may have criteria, which we should have. But perhaps we haven't asked God about that criteria before we developed the list. What do you think?
Well, Jesse, I must say I totally agree with you. There are so many times that I think we do fall short of trying to be within our physical bodies and just knowing the things as we look around and the material things, or whether it be just the way someone looks. So many have, you know, I've had an opportunity to speak to many of my friends, especially when I was younger. I was totally shocked on how many did say that one of the criteria that they had, you know, here I am in my early 20s, mid-20s, it's when you really start probably talking a little bit more serious about settling down. I was totally amazed on how many really did speak about the physical, you know, whether it be I need someone that has pearly white, beautiful teeth, all the way to I need someone that is so fit that they turn heads when they're walking down the street, meaning that the body is off the chain. I've had people speak about a certain height that they want. I've heard people indicate that they will not marry anyone that's ever been married before or had kids, and yes, that was my script. But I do feel, think, and believe that a lot of those women still to this day really have not found their perfect soulmate in their eyes. And they probably won't because I think they're putting too many emphasis on the wrong areas. Now, you know, when you gain a little bit more wisdom, the number one thing we need to be looking at, and I know I share that with our children, is make sure it's a strong God-fearing woman or God-fearing man, depending on if you got a daughter or a son. And the reason why that's so important, and to make sure that you're equally yoked, and to make sure that you understand who they are, where they've come from, you've got to get to know a little bit about someone so that you make sure that as you go down that road together, you're giving yourself an opportunity to be able to utilize everything that we hear and learn and understand about 1 Corinthians. You all hear me speak about it so often. I love that scripture. But if we just do our homework, just do our part, we will be able, that stereotype that's out there that we feel, think, and believe that we have to have as our whatever you want to call it before we even think about going out on dates or getting serious with someone, you know, that criteria does not have to necessarily be all of what we want it to be. You're right, Jesse. We got to do more of seeking God's face and asking God to guide us and direct us. And as a woman, what you got to do is continue to understand God's word and say, God, please send me a great man. Because the Bible says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. How many of you, if you're honest with yourself, that are women that were out there and you were more than likely a little bit more aggressive and you did your part to kind of somewhat throw yourself on the man that you thought you wanted to be with? Not so much that God might have had in store for you, but you put yourself in this mess and now you got to figure out how to get out of it or how to turn some things around, how to change some things that you got caught up in. There's a right and a wrong way to do everything in life, and we always want to do our part to make sure we do it right. But 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 that I love, and I know that this is the only way that we can live in love, in harmony, in peace, with joy, with the patience, the self-control that Jesse spoke about as he spoke about the fruit of the Spirit. But it says love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own ways. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, how many of us know that if you have not allowed yourself an opportunity to be joined in holy matrimony with the man that you know God has prepared for you, how many of you know that more than likely 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is going to be able to uphold that scripture? But if you're able to uphold that scripture, you got majority of what's going on around you in this thing we call marriage understood. And if you have that part understood, everything else will fall into place, especially if you do your part as God has instructed to continue with the sexual relations, to be able to know that's one area that will keep you on track and allow you an opportunity to love like none other.
Well, you know, Tammy, Crystal Crowder, in response to what you're saying, she's written an article, and it talks about why it's difficult. It says 13 signs you're a woman that's difficult to love, but I believe it could be either man or woman. The number one thing she says is you don't love yourself. Now, the word tells us that a man should love his wife as he loves his own body. And I'm sure he's going to love himself before he loves his body. But we'll maybe come back and deal with one or two of this. You know, you don't love yourself. Number two, everything comes before love. You know, you want to put everything before love. When you looking at your criteria, men and women, most of the time they don't have love in there anywhere. Number three, you know, you're going to well to just grab a date because you're really not interested in putting in the time necessary to really develop that relationship. You never believe, you know, that those three little words, I love you. Somebody has lied to you in the past, and so because they lied to you in the past, you have a difficulty in believing that someone could say that and really mean it. So you then, yourself, you very rarely say to anyone, I love you, or open your heart up to love. Number five, compromise isn't in your vocabulary. You're not willing to compromise. When you meet someone, you just want it your way. They prove that they love you by doing everything that you want to do. Number six, they say you think you're perfect. Again, you don't give consideration to now you may be being attracted, something that's going on. You feel it in your spirit. You feel it inside yourself. But for whatever reason, you find it difficult to make any modifications that you even are being shown by the spirit you should make because you think you're perfect. Number seven, you like really hurting people. It could be a male or a female. You like to make them cry. You like to see them be in pain because you said something to them or you responded in a manner that you knew would not be soothing because you like to see them cry. Number eight, you're not into sharing. You're very selfish. You don't want to modify or change. And tell me that's one thing I like that over time you and I have really learned how to do. Is that oftentimes we will change or we'll modify or we'll share. No, it's just easy. Just it's become a habit. And I really love that because over time I believe it also saved us some cash too. And allowed us to go and do some things, eat some places and go to some places because we were willing to share. We know that you can be very cynical in a relationship. If someone say something where it gets to the point that cynical could be your middle name, any of us. And then, see, sometimes the things that's happened to us in the past, we become friends, and then we'll bring up some of those things in the past where perhaps we share things that we're not proud of. And I hear people all the time to say, well, they keep on bringing up this or they keep on bringing up that, and we can't do that because, you know, not only must you learn to forgive ourselves, we definitely got to forgive our spouse. You know, people keep telling you over and over, you know, that you need to lighten up, you need to do this, you need to do that. And oftentimes you'll listen to other people try to share information about your relationship more than you'll listen to the person that's in the relationship that you're in. That's crazy, ain't it? You want to listen to everybody else, but you don't want to listen to the person that you're in the relationship with. And if you would take time to listen to the person that you're in the relationship with, 9 times out of 10, you probably will have a better situation. You really want love most of the time. All of us, we're created. We're in the image of God. God is love. So since God is love, we're looking for love all the time, but the world has redefined it so much and turned it into a lustful reality that we very seldom have an understanding of what love really is. And so since we don't know what love is, we don't know how to give love, and guess what? Love is another law of reciprocity. When you love, you become love. And so you have to be a loving person to get serious. But see, here's the deal. The number one problem today that they say that makes it difficult is when things get serious, the person wants to walk away because they now get to a point or they are afraid. They don't want to be hurt. How do we deal with that, Tammy, today? How would you... You know, we've gone through 25 years now, and I thank God, beautiful. You know, every day wasn't sunshine. Some days we had some rain, so some clouds. But at the end of the day, the vision that we created, that we agreed to from the beginning, I think is what continued to keep us motivated and on track. But what is it today that makes it difficult? We're going to deal with that last one, for people to be serious about their relationships and for people to be able, as you said earlier, to forgive and understand and give God an opportunity to put it together.
Well, Jesse, you know, one of the things that I will say, that first of all, you got to understand, why did you fall in love and why did you want to be married? And so when you really think about it, you know, one of the things that I know personally, that if we look at marriage biblically, and not everybody, now let's not get it twisted, we are, our foundation is biblical. I mean, for those of you that have joined us and you're not aware of that, you're not, and you're, you know, have not noticed that out of our weekly sessions, everything about us is biblical. Now, not everyone that you know might be counselors or might be talking about marriage, may not be dealing with the biblical side, but everything we do, it's related to the Word of God. And so one of the things I'll say, Jesse, when I think about love and I think about oneness, I think about marriage, I think about all these things. When you think about all of that, think about it, that it is not about happiness in marriage. But what it is, it's all about God's calling and purpose on our lives. I know one of the things, Jesse, you and I have the privilege and the opportunity to be on prayer lines each and every day. And one of the things I say on a regular basis on that call, that you were strategically placed here or you wouldn't be here. If the calling didn't come upon your life for you to be an intercessory prayer warrior, more than likely you might come, stop by, realize this ain't for me, gone. For those that have been there and know that that is a calling on your life, you come back day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, because you know that God needs you to be an intercessory prayer warrior to pray for people and issues of the world. And there's no difference, Jesse, as it relates to marriage. Once God chose you, and once he now had that calling on your life that he wants you to be someone's special wife or someone's special husband, because he needs to use you for a purpose. He already said that in order to allow the population to grow, that we have to get married, be fruitful, multiply, populate the world. The calling, that was the purpose of our marriage. And that what comes along that with that is love. And so one of the areas that I know that unfortunately that we do deal with is the fact that we go into it sometimes for all the wrong reasons. If we go into it knowing there's a purpose, there's a plan, there's a calling on our lives, that certain things that we must do now that we're in holy matrimony, that's what is so important. One of the other things, Jesse, that I would even guess to say, that as it relates to this love thing and as it relates to what we need to do, I will say to you also that it's very important, you know, when we think about all of the things that God has in store for all of us and the things that he desires for us to do. He wants us to understand and know how serious this thing called love is. He wants us to know that, of course, like you said, you know, we got to want to be loved. And in order to be loved, you got to understand how to reciprocate that and be able to give love. That's what love is all about, give and take. It's not one or the other. And if God is love, and like Jesse said, and if he created us, therefore we're love. But we don't all operate in that same kind of love that God created for us. But it is. Oneness in marriage is very difficult. And we all got to understand and know that if we want the marriage, if we want the love to continue to flow, we got to understand that it requires us to God and understand some specific steps that he wants us to take as it relates to love, as it relates to marriage, as it relates to the things that we must do as an individual. And I hope and pray that we take that time to understand and know what God is telling us every time he speaks to us in his word. His word will not return void. His word will allow us to go out and accomplish great things. His word will give us peace, and he gives us the peace that he gives, not what the world gives, and so we know it will last. And then one of the things that I will say, Jesse, as it relates to this thing that we speak to about love, are we going into it with all the right reasons? I know, you know, some of the things that I spoke about, some of the things that you spoke about, and as it relates to, you know, the signs that, you know, a man or a woman, because you just indicated it can go both ways, you know, but signs that a man or a woman, you know that it's very difficult to love. There's one reason, is because we know that they've been hurt before. None of us want to be hurt. We teach our children when they're young. Do not come near. Many years ago, I recall and I remember, because I was one of those children that it unfortunately got me in that area. But, you know, when the stoves back in the day, when you would touch them, they would be hot to the touch on the outside. We don't make those same stoves like that. But I remember years ago, my mother always telling me not to touch the stove, get away from the stove, always blocking me when I was young and walking or crawling, and not to come near the stove, because I knew that she knew that there would be some hurt and some harm that would come my way. I didn't know, because I hadn't experienced anything like that. No different, Jesse, once you get married and everything is new to you, you don't know what to experience or how to experience it or what it's going to do to you in your life. But you have to just use caution when you go into it. As you use that caution, release more love each and every day until you get so close that you have no choice but to love each other unconditionally. So I just pray that fear will not operate in a manner that will cause you not to be able to come together in oneness and love in the manner in which God desires you to love, even in the difficult time.
Well, tell me, see, difficult times is really what makes the marriage, which makes us more like the Father. We live in a world today where acting as though you are a believer and operating in what we call love, the world sometimes might see you being weak. Even in marital relationships, oftentimes, as you just indicated, we fail to look at the word. We fail oftentimes to apply what the word has to say. Many of us who are believers, I think more of us need to get into the word from the perspective of deliverance. And I'm back to doing a little research and going to put together some information on deliverance and how deliverance is also necessary in marriage and in a successful marriage. There are some situations and some things that when people come together, as you know, we've chatted about it many times, but they have to give consideration to. They have to have an understanding. And oftentimes that may require one or both spouses to change or to modify something about their lives or something about their perspective of living. Because who we are is where we were when? 5 years ago. And now where you want to be 5 years from now? What do you want your marriage to be? So I can tell you clearly right now, if you want your marriage to be oneness and to be a reflection of love, because God is love, then first of all, you must begin to make some decisions. You must begin to make sure your vision is in alignment. Because, see, there are so many phases and stages of your relationship and of your marriage that you have to give consideration to the different phases and stages of your marriage in order for it to sustain itself. Because if you don't, the word holds so true. that my people are destroyed due to a lack of knowledge. Now, in that knowledge, when God was speaking there, is a knowledge of him. And he said, since you rejected me, I will reject you. So, see, God will reject us. And we continue to do those things that are abominable to him. Because God also said he would not be mocked. That you just can't do things and say things and be things. And it's just a mockery. Can't do that. And so God looks at the heart. We know what God said to David, hey, he's a man after my own heart. So see, that means all of us have an opportunity to make sure we can operate in a manner pleasing to God. So if we close tonight, I'm thinking in terms of oneness, the power of love. Know that each and every one of us who are married or who desire to be married, we must be willing to give because, see, again, you fulfill the law of reciprocity. When you give, you will receive. You know, it just, you cannot outdo God. We just have to trust in the protocol, in the process, and in the principles that he has made available to us. We want to take a pause right now and remind you that at 9 o'clock, dial back in for our sister Minister Lil Killens for Empowerment Ministries. On Wednesdays, we have the Elder Reverend William J. Vann Jr., Elder Jason Felix right after him at 9. On Thursday, the Minister George Flint. On Saturday at 6, Mom Flint. And on Sundays at 6, Minister Amos Joseph Collins. So we want to ask you, Tammy, if you could close us out with a word of prayer. And we'll see you all next week. But remember, oneness is the power of love.
Amen. Well, most gracious and most heavenly Father, thank you for oneness, the power of love tonight. Thank you once again for allowing our listening audience to join us. We pray that something was said, Lord God, that you had blessed those that had the opportunity to make their way to the Blog Talk Radio show. We pray that whatever they stand in need of on this evening, Lord God, you would meet them in their time of need. I want to always just say, Lord God, go and be with us. Let us get a good night's rest. Let us continue to study to show ourselves approved. Let us understand and know, Lord God, it allows us an opportunity as we study to show ourselves approved how to be better individuals, especially on how to love more. I thank you once again, Lord God, for this privilege and the opportunity to allow us to minister. Not only minister, to allow all of those that came to us tonight, Lord God, to hear a word in season, they received it, and they will go and apply it to their daily lives and share it with those that they can make contact with. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Agape love.